The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
It's, you know, pretty rare that you have a living legend with you today, and we've got with us today Dr. Mark Skousen. Dr. Skousen was recently named one of the top 20 living economists in the world, which I guess is better than being one of the top 20 dead economists in the world, but one of the top 20 living economists in the world. He's appointed a presidential fellow at Chapman University in California and has a unique distinction of having worked for the government. He worked for the CIA, nonprofits, and for several for-profit companies. He has Freedom Fest, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We've got a cruise coming up.
Right.
And he's a rock star at the Money Show, but we are pleased to have with us today Dr. Mark Skousen. Good morning, Dr. Skousen.
Good morning. Hey, I've also had a business school named after me, so
that's
that
right.
must mean I am dead.
Is that right? Well, congratulations.
Yeah, Grantham University out of Kansas City is named their business school the Mark Skousen School of Business, which means I'm either dead or a billionaire.
Well, I'm assuming it's the latter. So anyway.
Yeah, it is in pesos.
Or bitcoins, one of the two. You wrote an article in March entitled, Are We Headed for Another 1930-Style Recession? And there was a headline this morning from Bank of America saying, we're headed for an earning recession. Are we headed for a recession at all?
Yeah, there seems to be some evidence of it. You know, one of the things that I've done is created a B2B index, which measures the amount of business spending in the economy, and it's actually almost double the size of consumer spending. So business is a much bigger driving force in the economy. What they do as far as spending to move the supply chain along toward final output. And that was flat. That was as it was entering the last part of 2014, B2B spending actually started coming down and was flat at the end of 2014. So suggesting definitely a slowdown. And then the Atlanta Fed came out and said they think GDP for the first quarter is going to be zero, no growth at all. I actually think the Fed is panicked as a result of these figures that are coming out. It makes it appear that we're headed back into recession. So I think they postponed their decision to raise interest rates. If you look at the money supply growth, that's been growing at double digits rate, the fastest rate. So even though they stopped their quantitative easing, they're having other methods of expanding the money supply and panicky, trying to get the economy going again. I think it's bullish for stocks. Once again, we're kind of in the sweet spot of investing. I think it's gonna be a sluggish period for sure.
Now, will this concern about the earnings or lack of earnings on stocks hold them back? Though, I mean, there's a lot of discussion right now about the fact that that analysts have been predicting that earnings will actually go down on the S&P, that we're gonna have a drop in that area. That seems to be holding stocks back. What do you think?
Yeah, but you have to remember that the stock market's always forward-looking. And the fact that these figures have come out and hasn't really caused the market to drop yet. Now, maybe one or two statistics will come out that say, well, yeah, we don't know what the bottom is. That could be a problem. But again, you have to remember that now we have to look forward, and with the Fed pumping money into the system, which has traditionally gone into stocks more than the real economy, I do make a distinction between Wall Street and Main Street. They're the same in the long term, and in the short term, they can move in opposite directions. And how often have we heard bad news turn out to be good news on Wall Street? See, what would cause Wall Street to rally? Well, it would probably that the Fed has decided to postpone raising rates. That could be the factor that would actually put the stocks higher, even though, yes, earnings are weak and the economy is weak. But I've seen periods like this before. I mean, I've been in this business for 35 years, so I have seen bull and bears and and boom and bust, and I've seen stock market crashes. I've seen all of this stuff, and it seems like things are not what it seems. Just because you have weak economic news doesn't mean that the stock market's in a crash. It is interesting that the stock market is yet to see a correction now a serious correction of 20% or more in what, 3 or 4 years. So
right.
We're certainly due for a correction. It's just impossible to predict these things.
Yeah, it is. In fact, it's been, I think, since October 2011 that we've had a meaningful correction, which is a long, long time. Now, one of the headwinds that corporations seem to be facing right now is the strong U.S. dollar. Are you concerned about the fact that the dollar continues to rally?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because remember that 2 or 3 years ago, the big promotion out there was the end of America, that the dollar would be wiped out, that Bitcoin was the future, or the euro was the future, or the Chinese yuan was the future. And none of that has taken place. And I was a very big critic of that idea, because the dollar is the big elephant in the room. It is the world's currency. There's nothing to take its place at this point. And so I've felt all along, hey, look, we're having a strong dollar and we still haven't raised rates. So, I mean, that suggests a very positive continuation of this strong dollar. And the Fed is trying to reverse that, of course, by their pumping more money into the system. Money supply is growing at 10% rate right now, but we're the world's currency, so we're exporting that inflation, so we can continue to see this strong dollar for some time, I think.
I agree. What do you think of the European Central Bank's just starting up their massive bond buying program? And, of course, the Japanese are out this morning. They continue to massively create assets. Is this a good trend, or are we all kind of getting caught in the same soup?
There's artificial prosperity and there's genuine prosperity. Genuine prosperity comes from cutting costs, of productivity, creating new products, entrepreneurship, savings, and genuine savings. Not this imitation savings that comes from easy money policies. So I think if the government focused instead on cutting unnecessary regulations, of reducing taxes, of reducing the welfare state, we would be far better off than these artificial means that work in the short term, but really in the long term, you have to go to the Economic Freedom Index that's put out by the Fraser Institute and Heritage Foundation. They focus on the business environment, ability to create new businesses. I mean, here in the United States, more businesses are closing than are starting, and that's not a good sign. The labor participation rate declining and so forth.
Right. Yeah. In fact, when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about our labor situation, because people a little confused about that, whether or not to make much of the fact that so many people are no longer actually looking for jobs, and we had a lackluster jobs report last week, but we also had a lot of new jobs available out there. So when we come back, we've got Dr. Mark Skousen with us today, recently named as one of the top 20 living economists in the world, and one of the smartest people we know. Stay with us. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. Dr. Skousen and I'll be back in just a moment. Don't you know
that it's time? The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
With us today, Dr. Mark Skousen. Dr. Skousen is considered one of the greatest economists. In fact, he was recently chosen as one of the 20 top living economists in the world, and he's most recently had a business school named after them. Grantham University renamed its business school the Mark Skousen School of Business. And I've learned over the break here that he's actually created a new index that we'll be talking about in just a few moments. But there are several opportunities for you to meet and hear Dr. Skousen. coming up. And, Mark, if you don't mind, would you talk about, you've got Freedom Fest, you've got the upcoming money show, and then you've got a cruise that sounds really interesting to me because I'm kind of a history buff, and you've got Newt Gingrich with you. So can we do a little commercial here and tell us how the folks can connect with you over the next several months?
Yeah, let me just go in order of what we're doing. We do the Freedom Fest, the big Freedom Fest conference in Las Vegas on July 8th through the 11th. So your listeners can just think 7-Eleven in Vegas. That's right. Where we do the big Freedom Fest conference, where we have over 100 speakers talking on geopolitics, philosophy, history, science, and technology. We have a huge debate. We have another legend, living economist, Paul Krugman, coming in, and Steve Moore of the Wall Street Journal and Heritage Foundation will be debating him.
Oh, good Lord, they're lively. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge debate, and it's the first time they've ever had a formal debate, so you won't want to miss that. Plus, we have a financial conference, and we have, you know, all our top investment people there, and we have several billionaires coming. Steve Wynn is going to be there, Peter Thiel, John Mackey, Steve Forbes. It's just going to be a fantastic list. And Glenn Beck is coming. We just confirmed Glenn Beck, so that's going to be controversial to have
the no
him
longer
there.
Republican Glenn Beck. The no longer Republican Glenn Beck.
That's right. And he's going to talk about We Will Not Conform. He's talking about his book Conform, which is an attack on Common Core and public education. So if people just go to freedomfest.com, they can find out all about our big Freedom Fest conference. And we have over 1,000 people already signed up. And I hope you guys can come out and cover
great.
The show. I think you'll really enjoy it. And then we do this cruise, New England cruise, and it's with Newt Gingrich and several other stars. And I'm going to do a one-on-one with Newt Gingrich because I'm a history buff, too, and so is Newt Gingrich. And his personal experiences and then his knowledge. You know, he was a history teacher before he was a congressman and Speaker of the House. And he's written several his historical novels. So I really want to pick his brain, and I think you'll want to be there because this is going to be off the record. So it's our New England cruise on the Crystal Cruise, and if they just go to freedomfest.com and look at upcoming appearances, they'll get all the information about our cruise as well. So
okay.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's a great cruise line, by the way. The Crystal Cruise Line is one of the nicest cruise lines around. Anyway, all right, now I've got to get to this. You have created a brand-new index that's going to be recognized as a really top index, and you kind of threw me for a loop because – you know, I've been around for 40 years, been on the show now for 3 or 4 years, and we've been talking constantly about how the consumer is supposedly, theoretically,
king.
70% of our economy, and you say otherwise. And so could you explain the new index to the folks and what it means?
Yeah, it's a brand new quarterly index measure of the economy, but it's much bigger, it's much broader than GDP. See, a lot of people don't realize that GDP just measures final output. So all it measures is the finished product. So it doesn't include all the spending by business, what we call B2B spending, business to business transactions, to move the product toward its final product from the natural raw commodity stage through the manufacturing and the distribution stages. All these stages of production are left out of GDP. So GDP is $17 trillion, and yes, $12 trillion of that, or 70%, is consumer spending. But if you include business spending, and that's this new statistic that is coming out quarterly, they just started it last year. It's called gross output, and it's over $30 trillion. And it turns out that business spending all along the supply chain to create the final product is almost double consumer spending. So business spending is over 50% of the economy. Consumer spending is between 30 and 40%. So business spending is much bigger than consumer spending. And it's the business leader the entrepreneur, the saver and investor, that's what drives the economy. And all economic growth shows that, that the higher the savings and investment rate, the faster you grow. Consumer spending is the effect, not the cause of prosperity. So that's, in a nutshell, what that is all about. And the next gross output statistic will come out on April 23rd on a Thursday, and I'll be having a press release on it, and it'll be a pretty good indicator of where we're headed, if we're indeed headed for another recession or not.
Wow, interesting. Well, thank you so much for coming up with that for us, because we need everything we can to kind of get ahead of what's going on. What do you think of? Let's get to interest rates, because I don't want to lose you before we go through that, because we've had Kurt Lakota was out there, I guess, yesterday, mm-hmm. giving a speech and seemed to be a little bit more dovish, you know. And there's been all this talk about rates going up in June, and then no, maybe September, and then we've even had people say no next year. What do you think is going to happen here? And obviously, I think that people are kind of overplaying it anyway, because I believe the general public believes that when they start going up, they're going to raise it month by month by month. So I think it's almost much ado about nothing. But what do you see in your crystal ball for the interest rate future?
Well, I have always believed, and remember that we've seen this story before. Last year, it was the same thing. The Fed was going to raise rates, and then they didn't. And I think even the year before. So it's been going on for 2 or 3 years. Look, the key indicator to whether they're going to raise rates or not is what's happening is the bond traders look at this key indicator more than anything, and it's the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. The CPI has to start moving up on a sustained basis in order to raise rates, and the CPI has been flat. In fact, it was negative for a while. You know, oil prices, gasoline prices were pushing it down. So until the CPI starts moving up, and I believe the Fed is working overtime to get the CPI to start moving up. I think it's a bad policy, but that's the artificial method they're trying to do to stimulate the economy. And see, you have a price target. The consumer price inflation target is 2-3%, and we're under that right now. So until they can get that rate up, they're not going to raise rates, because if they do raise rates, we have higher real interest rates, and that could hurt the economy. So
right.
You and I, we should all look at the CPI. That's the key indicator, and until that starts moving up on a sustained basis, I don't see any effort by the Fed to raise rates. They're kind of into a permanent ZERP, a permanent zero interest rate policy. That seems to be their Keynesian mode.
Is there anything out there that worries you? You've got about a minute. Anything that on the horizon that concerns you?
Well, I certainly think that politics that are entering, it's just incredible that the candidates are all declaring and running for office. And, of course, the Republicans I see are doing exactly what they did time before, where they're going to shoot each other in the foot.
Right.
And attacking each other constantly. I think that's too bad, because we really need change in Washington to get back to fundamental changes of tax relief, of reducing the size of the welfare state, and the business environment has got to be much more pro-business and less government regulation.
I agree. Thank you, Dr. Skousen, for being with us today. We'll look forward to having you back. Thank you, sir.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.